ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ரா சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 2 சந்தியாதிகரணம். சந்தியே சிருஷ்டிஹி ஆஹஹீம் நிர்மாதாரஞ்ச ஏகே புத்ராதயஸ்ச மாயா மாத்திரம் தூ காத்மியேன அனிபிஷ்வக்த ஸ்வரூபத்வாத் சூச்சகச்சஹி ஸ்ருதேஹே ஆசக்ஷதே ச தத்விதஹ பராபித்யானாதோ திரோஹிதம் ததோ ஹ்யஸ்ய பந்த விபர்யயௌ தேஹ யோகாத்வாசஹ அபி தத் அபாவாதிகரணம். தத் அபாவோ நாடீஷு தத் ஸ்ருதேஹே ஆத்மனி ச. This is the 7th Sutra in 2nd Pada, 3rd Chapter, 325th running Brahma Sutra. And we saw the general introduction to this Adhikaranam and also the general analysis of this Sutra in the last class, that is Sutra number 7. Now let us do the word analysis. Let us first do the running word meanings. As you know, we are discussing Sushupti Avastha here. So the sutra that we were discussing is tat abhavaha nadishu tat srutehe atmani cha. Tat abhavaha refers to the sleeping atma that resides in the nadi. Cha atmani, in the atma. Tat srutehe, since they are mentioned in the shruti Vedas, this is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Tadabhavaha. This is taken as sleep. And another commentator, he takes it as sleeping jivatma. So both are correct. It is either sleep or sleeping sleeper. So Shankaracharya has taken it as sleep only. Tasya, a state in which there is no dream. Hence it is sleeping jivatma. And nadishu, in the nadis. This is located. It's located in the nadis. And not only in nadis, atmanicha, paramatma also. It's located in paramatma also, in Brahman also. Because Brahman is swarupam, and jivatma rests in swarupam alone. Tat shrutehe, it is because of the shruti statement about the three locations. What are the three locations? Nadi location, puritat location. You remember it's a membrane around the hridayam and all that we talked about earlier. And paramatma location. Now let us go to the next sutra. அத்தஹ பிரபோதஹ அஸ்மாத். அத்தஹ பிரபோதஹ அஸ்மாத். 8th Sutra, 2nd Pada, 3rd Chapter, 326th Running Brahma Sutra. And in this Sutra, Vyasacharya gives a second reinforcing argument to establish that Jivatma merges into Paramatma alone and not elsewhere in Sushupti. The second argument is based on Ajatashatru Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's a very important Brahmanam there. There is a dialogue between Ajatashatru and Balaki. Balaki, they call it Aragan Balaki. The context is Ajatashatru wants to teach Balaki, and for that he takes a sleeping person example. So he goes to a sleeping person and calls the sleeping person by various names. And then violently shakes to wake him up. Ajatashatru asked the question during sleeping. This person was not responding, whomsoever is a sleeping person. Ajatashatru asked Balaki, during sleeping, when I was calling him by so many names, he was not responding. And Jivatma was still residing in the same place. And after forcibly waking him up, after woken up, the waker responds quickly, and the sleeper does not respond immediately. So the sleeper was sleeping. When he was woken up, he responded quickly. That means the Jivatma has gone somewhere to rest. We were talking about this argument in the last class. So Jivatma during Sushupti has gone somewhere else. And after shaking this Jivatma, he is out from that place. So Ajatashatru asks, where was that Jivatma in sleep? And where from he comes out at the time of waking? The confusion is, where does this Jivatma go? And Vyasacharya tells us, you find out in the Brahmanam where it is said, from where does he come out at the time of waking. So go to the same Brahmanam, that's what he's asking, Ajatashatru Brahmanam, and refer there. So the question is, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is the second chapter, first section, 16th mantra, from where does Jivatma emerge when he wakes up, is that question. Sahovacha Ajatashatruhu Yatraisha Yetat Supto Bhut Yayesha Vinyanamaya Purushaham Kvaisham Tada Bhut Kuta Yetat Agaditi Taduha Namene Gargyaha. That is the mantra. And the answer is not confusing, and the answer is there in the mantra itself in 2120, the next mantra. 2120, 2116 is the mantra we read, and in 2120, the answer is given. Sa yatorna nabihi tantuno charetam yataagnehe kshudram vispulingaha vicharanti evam eva asmad atmanaha sarve pranaha sarve lokaha sarve devaha sarvani bhutani vicharanti. So that jivatma emerges out of paramatma yetasmat atmanaha vicharanti. From the Paramatma alone, Jivatma comes out, emerges at the time of waking. And here, the Nadi is not mentioned, Puritat is not mentioned, and from this it is clear that Jivatma has entered into Paramatma only. So Nadi is not mentioned here, Puritat, that membrane around the Hridayam that we talked yesterday, it is not mentioned, so the other location possible is Paramatma only. Here, the source of emergence indirectly shows the source of resolution also. And source of resolution is a source of emergence. This is reinforced by another Shruti also in Chandogya Upanishad 6th chapter, 10th section, 2nd mantra. Eva meva kalu somya imaha sarvaha prajaha sata agamya na viduhu sata agachamaha iti taiha vyagrovam sigumhovam rukovam varahovam kitovam Padango vam, Dagunsho vam, Mashako vam, Yadyad Bhavanti, Tada Bhavanti. Jivatma emerges out of Paramatma at the time of waking. That is why he enjoys temporary liberation. Then he comes out of Paramatma, and the poor Jiva does not know that he had gone to Paramatma and comes out of Paramatma. No, Jivatma says, because he is ignorant of his own real status. No, Jivatma says, I went to Paramatma and I'm coming back. Because he is ignorant of his own status. Now let us see the running meaning. Ataha prabodaha asmat. That is the sutra. Ataha prabodaha asmat. Ataha. Ataha here therefore. Prabodaha, the rising of the jivatma that takes place. Asmat, actually from paramatma. It's understood. Now the significance of the words. Ataha. Because I emerge into Paramatma only during sleep, because I emerge out of Paramatma, so Prabodaha, I'm rising, emerging, coming out of the Jivatma from Paramatma. Asmat, here it refers to Paramatma, from the Paramatma, it comes out because it has gone into Paramatma. Therefore, it is conclusive, Jivatma goes into Paramatma during Sushupti. And Jivatma comes out of Paramatma, just as the rivers go into ocean, and rivers come out of ocean. With this, the second Adhikaranam now is over also. And here it is established, Jivatma abides in Paramatma, and Sushupti is some kind of liberation, moksha. It is temporary merger with Paramatma. So with this, we have completed the first two Adhikaranams, or the second Pada of chapter 3. First Adhikaranam dealt with Swapnavastha, and the second Adhikaranam dealt with Sushuptiavastha. And while dealing with the Panchagni Vidya, Jagradavastha has already been dealt with. So the previous Pada is Jagradavastha Pada. Thus all the three Avasthas have been talked about so far. So if you take all the three Avasthas together as an integral part of Jiva, it becomes what? It becomes Saguna Jiva or Tvam Pada Vachyartha. We are alluding to the Mahavakyam Tattvamasi. And I mentioned at the beginning itself, Tvampada Vichara is happening now. So it becomes Saguna Jiva or Tvampada Vichara Vacharta. So if the three avasthas are taken to be unreal or swapna, therefore they cannot be touched by, they cannot touch the jiva, and that jiva is called Tvampada Lakshyartha. So if you are associating with the three avasthas, it becomes Tvampada Vachyartha. But if you say that the avasthas cannot touch the jiva because the jiva is Paramatma only, then it becomes Tvampada Lakshyartha. So to an ignorant person, jiva is saguna. And for a wise person, jiva will be nirguna. So the unreality of the avasthas has been talked about, and therefore it becomes Tvam Pada Vichara, which is part of Mahavakya Vichara. Because in this particular chapter, we said Mahavakya Vichara will be done, and Tvam Pada Vichara is done. Therefore, it becomes a sadhana. Seeing the three avasthas as mithya, that is a sadhana. And therefore, seeing jiva as nirguna jiva, and therefore seeing the aikyam of nirguna jiva with nirguna Brahman, and all these have become a sadhana, so it is called Sadhana Adhyaya. Now let us enter the next sutra and the next adhikarana. The next adhikaranam is called Karmanusmriti Shabda Vidyadhikarana. Long name. Karma Anusmriti Shabda Vidya Adhikarana. So Sayevatu Karmanusmriti Shabda Vidibhyaha. That is the sutra. Sayeva. Sayevatu Karmanu Smriti Shabda Vidibhyaha. Ninth Sutra, Second Pada, Third Chapter, 327th Running Brahma Sutra. First, let us give a general introduction to this third Adhikaranam with one sutra. It has a long name though, and the discussion is based on the previous Adhikaranam, namely, during Sushupti, Jiva resolves into Brahma and merges into its higher nature. Paramatma is the Adhara or is the location in which Jivatma dissolves, losing its individuality. It is Brahman merger during Sushupti. That was what was said in the previous Adhikara. So this leads us to a doubt. If Jivatma merges into Brahman and when it comes back to Jagradavastha, certainly there is a waking up in the same body. And we expect Jivatma to come and occupy same body emerging from Brahma. Our doubt is, will the same Jiva come back or different Jivatma come back because it is dissolved, losing its individuality? I hope you are with me. During Sushupti, we said Jivatma goes to Paramatma and comes back. So what is the doubt? Will the Jivatma come back or different Jivatma will come back because dissolved, losing its individuality? So when a thing is resolved, we cannot get the same normally. If Ganga water has merged into the ocean, we cannot get back the same water. Similarly, when a pot is destroyed and merges into earth, you cannot retrieve the same pot. You have to make another pot, a new pot. Similarly, does the jiva, which merges into Brahman, when it wakes up, should it not be another jivatma? That is the question. And Vyasacharya says, if you go to bed with sorrow and come back with sorrow, it is unfortunate. Something is with joy, and the same, if a person goes with joy and the same jiva comes back after Sushupti also with joy. Now, so that is how it should be. That is Vyasacharya's assertion. Now we will do the general analysis of the sutra. Vyasacharya gives four different reasons, and they are kama, karma, anusmriti, shabda, and vidhi. Karma refers to the same jiva must be coming out of Sushupti because all partial work done in the previous avastha, the same partial work only will continue. Because of the continuity of karma, we infer continuity of the karta also. It cannot be a different jivatma. So if it is some other karta, the partial work cannot be continued at all. That is reason one. Then anusmriti is the direct reason. The jiva remembers Jagradavastha because he was doing all action in Jagradavastha. And hence the same jiva emerges out of Sushupti. Always remembrance and experience, they should belong to the same avastha when it is being enjoyed or when it is being worked out. And this is possible under only one condition, to belong to the same locus. It means, suppose experience of a particular object is located in a person, say Rama, and then the remembrance of a particular object will also be in Rama only, not in Krishna. If I remember the experience, I should have gone through the experience already. Every memory should be preceded by experience, and the experience should be the same in the same person who remembers. If they are the same person continues in the unmanifest form. And that is why the same person wakes up after Sushupti. We do forget a lot of things. And we do not think of forgotten matter, but we remember some remembrance to prove that the waker is the same. This is Anusmriti. By the term Anusmriti, this is what we mean. Then Shabdaha. Shabdaha refers to Shruti Pramana. Veda itself directly tells in Chandogya Upanishad 6th chapter, 9th section and 3rd mantra, it tells that the jiva merges into Sat or Brahman at the time of Sushupti, and then in the next waking stage, the same jiva comes out. Taiham, Vyagrova, Sigumhova, Vrukova, Varahova, Kitova, Patangova, Dagumshova, Mashakova, Yedyad Bhavanti, Tada Bhavanti. And in the next section, it is also repeated in 6.10.2. So if the jiva goes to sleep as tiger, Vyagrova, and it will get up as a tiger only, so also a lion, mosquito. Imagine it gets interchanged. What will happen? I get up as a mosquito, and mosquito will get up as me. So whatever individuality is resolved, the same individuality only will emerge. And the final one is Vidhi. Vidhi means Vedic injunctions. Karma injunction and Upasana injunctions, they reveal this. Veda prescribes different karmas for us to follow as karta. I am interested in practicing the karma because I myself will become a bhokta of all the karma palam and reap the benefit of the karma and Upasana palams. That is the niyama. If I am a karta today, I will become a bhokta tomorrow. If I am a punya papa karta, I will become sukha and dukkha bhokta. If I am a karta, I know I myself will experience the palam of my good actions or bad actions. I always want to reap the result. Suppose a jiva does a very good karma today as a good karta and he goes to bed. In Sushupti, the karta jiva is gone. And tomorrow a different bhokta arises. What will happen? Karta is different and bhokta will be different. It will create twofold problems. Today one jiva does karma, tomorrow another jiva reaps the result. Then today's jiva does a karma and disappears without reaping the fruits of karma. But what the Shastra says, jiva can never escape the karma, is the moral law of the universe. If one disappears without reaping the palam, karma dies without allowing the karta to enjoy or suffer the fruits of another's karma palam. It is an injustice to the karta. A dharmic person suffers for the karma done by another person. All these are important to prove that the jiva continues from one avastha to another avastha. Jiva continues from one janma to another janma. And if you do not accept, there will be injustice all over. Veda says, never it can happen. Not only that, today I do a good karma and tomorrow some other fellow, he reaps the result, then there will be no incentive for me to do any good karma at all, since I am not the beneficiary of the karma phala. Vedic injection proves, yaha karta saha eva bhokta. And jiva continues in all the three avasthas, including marana avastha also and punarjanma. This is the essence of the satikaram. Now we will see the word analysis. Sa eva tu karmanu smriti shabda vidibhyaha. Saha eva tu. The same jiva arises. Karma anusmriti shabda vidibhyaha. Karma anusmriti shabda vidibhyaha. Vidhi. The act, karma is the activity, the actions. Memory is anusmriti. And then shabda is the scriptural statement, Vedic statement. And vidhi is scriptural injunction as revealed by my memory. This is the running meaning. Now we will see the significance of the words. Saha eva. the same jiva, sahayeva. The word tu indicates the negation of Purvapakshi. Because Purvapakshi's argument is what? When you dissolve a drop in an ocean, the same drop cannot be retrieved. Similarly, the same jiva cannot be retrieved. That is his argument. His logic and conclusions are negated by the expression tu here. And karma refers to the activity. And the remaining part of the partial activity, whatever he has done in the Jagratavastha, the remaining part of the partial activity left it behind in the previous day, let us say. Activity means a continuation of the activity here. And Anusmriti refers to memory. I experienced yesterday and I remember it today. So the third one is Shabdaha. Shabdaha is the Shruti Vakyam, the Vedic statement. And the fourth word is vidhi. The karma, upasana are not possible if you are not there to reap the benefits. That is the rule. Karma, upasana, they are all not possible if you are not there to reap the results, the benefits. With this, the third adhikaranam is also over. It is not a part of avasthatraya viveka. We should not confuse. But an incidental topic only here. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam, the fourth adhikaranam. This adhikaranam is called mugdhe. Ardha Sampatya Dhikarana. Mugde Ardha Sampatya Dhikarana. Sutra 10, second Pada, third chapter, 328 Brahma Sutra. Mugde Ardha Sampatihi Parisheshat. That is the mantra. Mugde Ardha Sampatihi Parisheshat. First, let us give a general introduction to this Adhikaranam with only one sutra. This is also an incidental Adhikaranam only. It is not required for the flow of our inquiry of this Brahma Sutra, of this topic. We do talk about different states of experiences like Swapna Avastha, Sushupti Avastha, Jagrat Avastha. And the quick question is, totally how many Avasthas are there? That's the question. How many Avasthas are there? That is being analyzed here in this Sutra. And Vyasacharya concludes that Jiva has 5 Avasthas. And what are those 5 avasthas? In Jagrat Avastha, one experiences the external world. And in Swapna Avastha, in the dream state, it is a state in which one experiences the internal world of dreams. And third one is a Sushupti Avastha, is a state in which the Jiva neither experiences the external world nor experiences the internal world. Jiva remains resolved in Brahman. And the fourth state is the Marana Avastha. That is an avastha experienced after dropping the body until one takes to another fresh body. This is similar to sleep with no karma pala anubhava. And the fifth avastha is called Murcha Avastha, which is called Mugdha Avastha. It is a state of coma or unconsciousness, swooning or fainting. So 5 avasthas are established in this adhikarana. Now, should we say the Murcha Avastha is a distinct Avastha or can we add it to one of the existing modes, Avasthas? Similarly, we have Balya Avastha, Kaumara Avastha, Yavana Avastha, all those 6 Avasthas are also there. However, we do not count them separately. Why not add this also into one of the other 7 or 4? You may want, if you want to get, and what you get out of that? We should have clear-cut policy with respect to the various suggestions made by scholars. They are all scholars, true. Therefore, let us confine to some avasthas or the other. And what is the doubt? Murcha avastha, is it distinct from the other 4 avasthas or not? And the Purvapakshi says it is one of the 4, and Siddhantin says it is distinct from the 4. And this Vyasacharya says it is a unique state, and it cannot fall in any of the 4. Can we take Murcha as a Jagrat Avastha? It's not possible. Because Jiva in this state never experiences the external world. Then can we take it as Swapna Avastha? It is also not possible. Because Jiva never experiences the internal world as we experience in the external world in Jagrat Avastha. We don't do it the same way in Swapna. It cannot be Sushupti Avastha also. Here we get serious doubt and possibilities. And Shankaracharya says it cannot be Sushupti Avastha also because cause, the nature and the effect are different from Sushupti Avastha. The nature of Sushupti and the cause are different. The effect and consequences are different. The cause of sleep is what? It's natural and it's a healthy cause. So sleep is a healthy cause. Body is tired and it goes to sleep for the rest. Coma or unconscious state comes when the cause is some problem in the system. Not when the body is tired. Cause is ill health. We talk of treatment when one goes into unconscious state. Health is the cause of sleep and ill health is the cause of coma. So sleep is a wanted state in which body is refreshed. If one does not get sleep, we'll call the doctor. Its absence becomes a cause for concern. The state of unconsciousness is an unhealthy state. In one, absence creates worry. In another, presence creates worry. Even in external look, there is difference in a person in coma and the one in sleep. One damages the health and the other is not a cause of worry. The consequence are rest and refreshment. Sleep comes as a regular cycle, but unconsciousness, that unconscious state is not a regular cyclic process. Finally, sleep is an universal phenomenon. Everyone experiences sleep and none can say he has no sleep. Without sleep, one cannot survive. Even dream is universal, whereas murcha is not. One common feature between sushupti and murcha is the individuality is resolved. Sat sampatti is common, whereas in all other respects, both are different. And finally, can murcha be included in marana avastha? It cannot be included also in marana avastha due to two reasons. One is the biological functions of the body continues in murcha avastha, whereas it ceases in maranam. In murcha, there is a possibility of jiva coming back to same physical body. But a person after death cannot come back with the same physical body, but he will take a new body and that is called rebirth. Death by definition is the permanent leaving of this body. Therefore, murcha cannot be marana avastha also. So murcha avastha resembles marana avastha because jiva here loses individuality. So that way it resembles marana avastha. In sushupti also individuality solution is there and so in murcha also. But murcha cannot be included in maranam or sushupti. It is by law of exclusion. All the four are excluded and we have to take the fifth avastha and Vyasacharya gives it a technical name called Ardha Sampatti. In Sushupti, Jiva loses individuality and merges into Brahma. Therefore, Sushupti avastha is called Sat Sampatti. In Sushupti, Jiva loses the individuality and merges into Brahman, so it is called Sat Sampatti. Sat means Brahman and Sampatti means Layaha here. This is actually said in Chandogya Upanishad. We have seen that also. That Paramatma is from, that means Swarupam. At the time of Maranam, also Jivatma dissolves into Brahma. Maranam is also another form of Sat Sampatti one. As said in Chandogya, 6th chapter, 8th section, 6th mantra. Asya Swamyam Purushasya Prayataha Vang Manasi Sampadyate Manaha Prane Pranaha Tejasi Tejaha Parasyam Devatayam. When a person dies, prayataha. Prayataha means prayanam kurvataha, final leaving. The person finally says bye-bye. So, vang manasi sampadyate, all the organs, vak and all the other organs, they are withdrawn into manas, manasi. And manas is resolved into udana prana, which prana absorbs him into pranasyam devatayam, parasyam devatayam brahmani. With Brahman. So why do we say all this? Maranam is also called Sat Sampatti. In Murcha Avastha, Jivatma loses his individuality in a state of unconsciousness. And he does not have the experience of the world. In Murcha Avastha, Jivatma also resolves into Brahman. That is also Sat Sampatti only. Both are different states of sat-sampatti. In murcha avastha, there are certain features common to sushupti and there are certain features close to maranam. The vital signs continue and comes back to the same body And also Murchavastha is closer to Maranam. And that is when one goes to coma, what happens? People get frightened. This is the gateway to Maranam for many people. It is through Murcham one gets into the class of death. In that respect, it is closer to death. And treatment is required. Coma means people are afraid that one will die. Murcha is partially similar to Sushupti and partially similar to Maranam for these two reasons. And therefore, it is part of Sushupti Satsampatti and is also part of Marana Satsampatti. This is the hybrid of Sushupti and Sushupti Satsampatti and Marana Satsampatti. And therefore, Vyasacharya gives a new name to that called Ardha Sampatti. It has got features of both Sushupti as also Maranam's Satsampatti. So it's hybrid of both. So he calls it Ardha Sampatti. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Mugdhe ardha sampattihi pariseshat. That is the sutra. Mugdhe ardha sampattihi pariseshat. Mugdhe, in the state of unconsciousness, ardha sampattihi is a condition of partial absorption that is experienced by the jiva we have to supply. And pariseshat, this is known by the law of exclusion. Parishesh Nyaya. This is word meaning. Now we will see the significance of the words. Mugdham means the extreme state of moha or tamoguna, intense tamoguna. And ardha sampattihi is partial absorption, but not in literal sense. Absorption is total only, but one part of sushupti sampatti and marana sampatti is partial of each. And parisesha is a nyaya, as I told, the law of exclusion. After excluding all other possibilities, whatever remains, you take it as a new one. A law of the remainder also. We have excluded jagradavastha, we have excluded sapnavastha, sushuptiavastha, and maranavastha. And the fifth one is murcha. So if there is a hypnotic state caused by someone, it is murcha. All states we find in the above five categories only. All of them will be any one of these five categories only. And here, interestingly, the state of samadhi that is not included in any of the five states. Samadhi is a state talked about in Yoga Shastra, and Vedanta does not accept it. All the Ashtanga Yogas and all, they talk about samadhi. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, ashtanga. So in yoga, samadhi is accepted as an avastha and it is given a prominence also. And it is a state of absolute thoughtlessness. Absolute thoughtlessness. They talk of various steps to reach samadhi and all in yoga. The thoughtless state is considered as the highest state of samadhi. In yoga, Yoga Shastra. It is adopted in Vedanta also by many people. And gradually, the yoga samadhi has become extremely important in Vedanta also. So vikalpa samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, all that. But Vyasacharya does not give separate status to samadhi at all. Vedanta itself talks about separate state and utility of the state of samadhi. Vedanta itself talks about it. Some people claim among Vedantins themselves, only in the absolute thoughtless state, one can develop extraordinary power of intuition in the thoughtless state, absolute thoughtless states, with which one can realize the truth or Brahman. This is the theory of some Vedantins themselves. And they also feel jnanam can give knowledge and samadhi state is compulsory for direct apprehension. This is one theory. And there are some other Vedantins who claim? That in the state of samadhi alone, one can enjoy jivan mukti avastha. It's also an avastha part. Even among Vedantins, there is a lot of confusion. Constant experience of Brahmananda that requires a mind abiding in Brahman. Mind will abide in Brahman, according to them, only when mind is thoughtless. thoughtless state is possible only when you end all transactions with the external world. They believe that Jivan Mukta Avastha is possible only when you end all transactions and abide in Brahman and enjoy Amrita Ananda and visualize the highest state, which is called Brahmavid Avastha. You are absolutely dead in this world. And they even talk about birds building nests in the beards of all these sages. People talk about all those kinds of things. The hunger is not known at that stage. Thirst is not known. This alone is Jivan Mukti according to those people. And there is a third theory, and that says moksha is possible only when the mind is destroyed, manonashaha. Actually, we discussed this topic elaborately during Upanishad lectures. According to them, the mind will continue to exist as long as fuel and nourishment is there. What is the fuel and nourishment for the mind? Vasanas are the oil for the mind to be alive. And therefore, all vasanas, they have to be first eliminated. As the vasanas are eliminated, then the mind is emaciated. And the mind becomes thinner and thinner by exhausting vasanas. So not physical thinning and all. It's all figuratively. So mind becomes thinner and thinner by exhausting the vasanas and by not feeding the mind with fresh vasanas. According to them, remaining in samadhi will assist in the shrinking of mind. What is shrinking? Shrinking is all the thoughts, slowly they all get out, vasanas are get out, they are all removed. Samadhi sessions are to be practiced. They give lot of samadhi sessions. And in each samadhi session, the mind will shrink. The rate of shrinking will depend upon the frequency, the intensity of the samadhi state, how much one practices. And also depends upon the length of samadhi state. And that mindless person, that state is mindless person. He enjoys the Jivan Mukta Avastha and the Lord takes over his life. That is that. So when the mind completely shrinks, he becomes mindless. Manonasha has taken place and he enjoys the Jivan Mukta Avastha and the Lord takes over his life. This is their belief. Lord will guide his activity. Samadhi as a thoughtless state is talked about by some people. Vyasacharya does not talk about samadhi as a state at all. He doesn't give any importance to that at all. Do we talk about samadhi at all in Vedanta? Vyasacharya might not have given, that's fine. But do we at all talk about samadhi in Vedanta? We say we do talk about the samadhi, and even Shankaracharya talks about that samadhi. It comes in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and Mandukya Karika also. We don't mean samadhi as the thoughtless state as mentioned in the Yoga Shastra. Playing the three roles, namely giving a new intuitive power, directly apprehending Brahman and all that thing, we don't agree all of this. If there is special intuition to realize Brahman, we could have included it as the 7th pramana, isn't it? If it is a special intuition to realize Brahman, we could have included as the 7th pramanam in the Shastras. Whereas Shastra only enumerates 6 pramanams of knowledge. Intuition is not included to realize Brahman as pramana. Intuition is not included as a pramanam to realize Brahman. We have got pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, all those things we got. And the second point is, samadhi is required to abide in Atma also. That is not accepted by us. We say that a thoughtless state is not required for the mind to abide in Atma, because everything in creation all the time is abiding in Atma only. Why should we really make a requirement to abide in Atma? All jivarasis, entire creations, they abide in Atma only. So a thoughtless state is not at all required for the mind to abide in Atma, because everything in creation all the time is abiding in Atma only. Atma is like not like a chair which you have to sit on at a particular time. And Atma is all pervading in Chaitanyam. Atma is all pervading. It is not located on a chair somewhere you have to go and sit on that. Everything abides by Atma, and nothing can come and abide in Atma, whether the mind is thoughtful or thoughtless. Mind is abiding in Atma. It's like a wave. Wave does something to abide in ocean. Wave doesn't do anything. So, and the third role is the shrinking in the mind. The shrinking of the mind also we briefly spoke to realize the Brahman state. Shrinking of the mind through samadhi, we do not accept. And we say, a mithya vastu need not be shrunk gradually. Mind is a mithya vastu. So we don't accept. We say, a mithya vastu need not be shrunk gradually. For example, if you take the rope snake example, the rope snake, you need not gradually reduce in rope meditation. I know there is no snake, and I do sessions of rope meditation to shrink the thought of the mithya snake. How ridiculous it will be. Shankaracharya says it is possible in yoga because yoga believes in the reality of the mind. That is the difference. Yoga believes in the reality of the mind, for as mind is mithya. Whoever does not accept mithya, they require samadhi sessions or meditations or mind control. For them, mind is not mithya. And for Vedantins, mind is mithya. And we concentrate in gaining knowledge alone. We do not accept the concept of samadhi. Vedantins accept and they say, samadhi is a thoughtful state. It is not any thoughtless state. And it entertains vrittis, thoughts. But we insist upon Vedantic thought of dwelling upon the teaching. All this mananam, nididhyasanam, they are all not thoughtless states. You think of Vedantic state, Vedantic thoughts of dwelling upon the teaching, aham brahmasmi, tattvamasi. And in this, if we exclude all the distractions, and if you are absorbed in that thought only, and that absorption in Vedantic thought is called samadhi. I hope you are clear. It is not a thoughtless state, but it is a thought in which you are absorbed, according to what the Mahavakyam is. Even absorbed shravanam is called samadhi. During the class, if somebody is totally absorbed in the class, it is seldom possible. Then it is called samadhi. Therefore, you are in samadhi if you are absorbed through writing notes or meditating upon the Vedantic studies. That is also samadhi only. Because mind has not entertained any other thought. It is absorbed in only one thought. Since thoughts are involved, the thoughts based on pramanam are involved. And in that state also, one is pramata in jagradavastha. So we also have other types of absorption. We have got absorption due to worries, to health, to money. So many things are there. There also someone has to shake you up. And that is one type of samadhi in Jagradavastha. So samadhi is not a separate state, but included in Jagradavastha and get absorbed in the thought of Aham Brahma Asmi. This is also talked about in the Panchadashi, actually, first chapter. Vidyaranya talks about all that. And yogic samadhi is not acceptable and Vedantic samadhi is not a separate state. So we don't accept yogic samadhi in Vedanta and Vedantic samadhi is not a separate state but included in Jagradavastha and it is acceptable to us. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam called Ubhaya Lingadhikaranam. This is the fifth adhikaranam of this pada. Ubhaya Lingadhikaranam and the Sutra, first Sutra, 11th Sutra, second Pada, third chapter. Nasthanatopi parasya ubhalingam sarvatrahi. Nasthanatopi parasya ubhayalingam sarvatrahi. 329th running Brahma Sutra, 11th Sutra, second Pada, third chapter. The Sutrakara, he now proceeds, Sutrakara means Vyasacharya. Now he Bhashyakara is generally Adi Shankaracharya, Sutrakara is Vyasacharya. These are all terms if I use it for you to just remember. So the Sutrakara now proceeds to deal with the nature of Brahman. With the previous Adhikaranam, the Avastha discussion and Jivatma Vishchara is over. Jivatma is established as what? Avastha Traya Sakshi. Avastatraya Sakshi is Anhu Kridjiva. It is one with Paramatma. This analysis is called Tvam Pada Vichar. This is not complete because Mahavakya requires Tvam Pada Vichara and Tatpada Vichara. Tatpada Vichara means Paramatma Pada Vichara. Only then we are ready for Aikya Jnana. Then only Tattvamasi will make sense to us. So this Tvampada Vichara is called Sadhana. Tattvada Vichara also is called Sadhana. And Aikya Jnanam is the Sadhyam. That is why both are discussed in Sadhana Adhyaya. Tvampada Vichara and Tattvada Vichara. Now in the following four Adhikaranas, we will discuss the Tattvada Vichara or Paramatma Vichara. Enquiry. We will introduce the fifth Adhikarana first. This is called Ubhaya Linga Adhikaranam. It's a large Adhikaranam with 11 sutras. Here Brahman is defined as Sagunam, Nirgunam or both. We are going to analyze all of them very analytically. These are the Adhikaranams where the differences of opinion between Dvaita, Advaita, Vishishta Advaita, they are all highlighted, made very prominent. Also, we will establish that Brahman is Nirgunam. Saguna nature of Brahman is of a lower order of reality and therefore Mithya. Vyavaharika Satyam, Paramarthika Satyam, all should come to mind. Nirgunam Brahman is Satyam, which is not accepted by Vishishta Advaitins. Nirgunam Brahman, they don't accept the Nirgunam Brahman concept. Here, Tatpada Vichara or Paramatma Swarupam is being analyzed here. Here it is critically analyzed whether Brahman is Sagunam or Nirgunam. And there are some Upanishads, Upanishadic statements describing Sagunam with attributes. And there are some other Upanishadic description that say Brahman is Nirgunam. Visishtadvaitam says that they have dissolved the problem that there is no problems at all because there is no such a thing called Nirgunam Brahman. Vishishtadvaitam do not accept the concept of Nirgunam Brahman. They do not accept the very existence of Nirgunam Brahman. They do not have Vyavaharika Drishti or Paramarthika Drishti. In Moksha Avastha also, both Jiva and Brahman are Sagunam only according to them. Suppose an Advaitan asks a question, what about Nirgunam appearing in the Upanishad? They would say that Nirgunam does not mean attributeless Brahman. If Advaitin asks a question to them about Nirgunam appearing in the Upanishad, they would say that Nirgunam does not mean attributeless Brahman. There is no such thing called attributeless Brahman. Nirgunam means, according to them, Dushta Guna Rahitam. Brahman is free from all negative, all evil attributes. Dushta Guna Rahitam. Brahman has got all the Kalyana Gunas only. And Brahman does not have any akalyana gunas. Nirgunam Brahman means Shuddha Gunam Brahman. Shuddha Gunam Brahman is Sagunam Brahman. There is no contradiction according to them. There is no need for reconciliation also. They do not have to bring in Vyavaharika or Paramarthika Vedas and all they don't have to bring. They do not have to say knowledge is the means of liberation because there is no Nirgunam Brahman. And because of Mithyavada is not at all required according to them. In Vishishta Advaitam, it does not mean Brahma Jnanena Moksha, but Brahma Upasanena Moksha. According to them, one gets Moksha by Brahma Upasana. By practicing the Upasanas, a person will travel by Shukla Gati, go to Vaikuntha and gain Moksha according to them. No need for self-knowledge and all that. By practicing the upasanas, person will travel by Shuklagati. Go to Shuklagati and all, you know, Sushumna and all that thing I've taught. Go to Vaikuntha and gain moksha. All this is based on the foundation that there is no Nirgunam Brahman according to them. But Advaitins, they accept Nirgunam Brahman. It is Shuddham Brahman, Shuddha Brahman it is. For Advaitins, Nirgunam is accepted and Sagunam is also accepted. The reconciliation of the two is done what? That is done in this Adhikaranam though, but we are going to analyze it. Now I will give you the development of the analysis here. First, Vyasacharya points out that both sagunam and nirgunam cannot coexist. Sagunam and nirgunam both cannot coexist. And therefore, we have to take necessarily only swarupam as the intrinsic nature. Then Vyasacharya, he develops it further. He divides Vedantic teachings into also into two levels. The difference is the eligibility of the student. The two levels, not at the Paramarthika level, the eligibility of students. One set of students are unprepared students. Unprepared means they don't have the sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti, all those qualifications. They are not adhikaris yet, unqualified. And the other one is prepared students. So keeping the level, Vyasacharya points out to which level a particular student belongs to. He points out, Upanishad reveals Nirguna Brahman alone. That is the ultimate teaching and that is the destination. The central theme of the entire Upanishad study. It even directly negates the Saguna Brahman. This is the first level of development. And then Vyasacharya says, however, the moment you put however, that means something else comes. Accept Saguna Brahman also for the lower unprepared students. Even though in the face of Upanishad, Saguna Brahman is mithya to be negated later. Temporarily, avidyam anadhikari avasthayam, Saguna Brahma is accepted. Avidya avasthayam, anadhikari avasthayam, a person who is anadhikari, not eligible, avidya, ignorant. That person, for him, Saguna Brahma is accepted. At that level, because Saguna Brahman alone is useful to get the eligibility. Nirguna Brahman cannot help me in getting the eligibility. Why? Because Nirguna Brahman is not an object of prayer. You cannot meditate and you cannot do anything. Eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. Those who are in Saguna Brahman permanently, then they are the unfortunate people. Upanishad says like that. This is the development. Now let us go to the general analysis of the first sutra of this Adhikarana. Here it is said that both Nirgunam and Saguna Swarupam cannot belong to Brahman. Both cannot be. Brahman cannot be combination of both. These two Swarupams cannot belong to Brahman in alternating manner. This means first Brahman was Nirgunam, then came Maya, then Brahman became Sagunam Brahman, and we scrubbed Maya and again became Nirgunam Brahman, like water becoming hot and then becoming cold. It doesn't happen. Brahman cannot have both Swarupam in alternating manner. In that manner. So whether they both can coexist, the answer is that both cannot coexist at all. Sagunam, Nirgunam, both cannot coexist at all. Because opposite attributes cannot coexist. A person can be short and fat, or a person can be tall and fat, because tallness and fatness are not opposite attributes. A person cannot be long and short, being both opposite, or fat and thin. Brahman cannot be Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman simultaneously. The conclusion is that Brahman should have only one intrinsic nature and that should be permanent. Intrinsic nature is permanent nature. That permanent nature is Nirgunam only. Nirgunam cannot be displaced and Sagunam cannot come to displace Nirgunam. It cannot be replaced by Nirgunam. Vyasa says Nirgunam is the intrinsic nature of Brahman as described in all the Upanishads. Now he is giving so many quotations. In Mundaka Upanishad, first chapter, first section, sixth mantra, it gives a very clean description of attributeless Brahman. Yattadadreshyam, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam, achakshushrotram, tadapanipadam, nityam, vibhum, sarvagatam, sushukshmam. Tadavyayam. Yad bhutayenim, vibhutayonim, paripashyanti dhiraha, avarnam, no varna at all, achakshuhu, shrotram, apani, padam. And again in Keno Upanishad, first chapter, third mantra, that says Brahman is not accessible to any attribute. Na tatra chakshur gachati, na vag gachati, no manaha, na vidma. Brahman is not accessible to any of the sense organs. If Brahman has attributes like form, smell, color, then what will happen? It would have been an object of sense organs. And the next mantra is from Kathopanishad, first chapter, third section, 15th mantra. And so many other mantras also associated with that. They say without sound, without touch, without form, without all this ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, tatarasam, nityam, agandha vachayate. Brahman doesn't have shabda, asparsha, all those. And then from Kaivalya Upanishad also he says, when the five elements is not there, where is the question of gunas? Because gunas are borrowed from pancha bhutas only. Na bhumi rapaha, na cha vannirasti, na cha anilo, mesti na chambarancha, evam viditva paramatma rupam. Ruhashayam, nishkalam, advitiyam. So when the five elements themselves are not there, where is the question of gunas? Because gunas are borrowed from pancha bhutas only. And then Taittiriya Upanishad says, Nirgunam Brahman is real. Second chapter, seventh anuvaka. Yadahye vaishaye tasminna drishye anatmye nirukte anilayane abhayam pratishtam vindate. Again it indicates what? Nirgunam Brahman, everywhere, prefix. Adrishyam, anatmiyam, aniruptam, anilayam, all that. Then in Mandok Upanishad, the famous quotation, that describes Nirguna Brahman also in the seventh mantra. Nanta pragyam na bahish pragyam no bahita pragyam na pragyana ganam na pragyam na pragyam adrishtam avyayam avyavaharyam agrahyam alakshanam achintyam avyapateshyam ekatma pratyayasaram prapanchopashamam shantam shivam advaitam chaturtam manyante te sa atma sa vigyayaha. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, third chapter, again, eighth section, eighth mantra. It is neither coarse, nor fine, neither short, nor long, neither red, nor moisture. Any of the sahovacha, etatvai tat, aksharagum gargi, brahmana abhivadanti, astulam, ananu, akhraswam, adirgam, alohitam, asneham, achayam, atamaha, avayuhu, anakasham, asangam, achakshushkam, ashrotram, avak, amanaha, atejaskam, apranam, amukam, amatram, anantaram, abahyam, natadashnadi, kinchanam, natadashnadim, kaschanam. Full of negations. That also talks about Nirgunam Brahman only. And the Chandogya Mantra, that's the seventh chapter, that says, from whose all activities, all desires, all orders, and all tastes they proceed. Yatra nanyat pashyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sa bhuma. In the Bhuma Vidya, seventh chapter. That there is no, all these things, seeing, hearing, none of those things, activities take place. Therefore, uniformly, all the Upanishads, they talk about Nirgunam Brahman only. That is Brahman's real nature. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra in the next class. Yo veda dao swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya ya parasamaheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti 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 shri gurubhyo namaha. Hari Om, Sri Krishna, Arpanamastu. Bye-bye.